Really appreciate the meditations this morning. Appreciate you, Nathan.
It's hard to be vulnerable in front of folks, but, you know, it's family, so it's a bit easier. People have a way of, and I appreciate what you said, people have a way of trying to make you feel guilty for what they've done and the situations that they're in. And when you are empathic, when you do have empathy and you have, you know, care and love for people, man, it's really easy to get that guilt placed on your shoulders. You know, and as Christians, we gotta guard against that, because that's worldly mentality. And, you know, we never want to feel or make our brothers or sisters feel guilty for decisions that we make. But yet, for some reason, that happens quite a bit. And I've been in ministry for 31 years, and it's taken me about 30 of that to get to the point where I refuse to go on people's guilt trips with them when they try to get me on there. I thought I was there before, like, I'm not going to let you make me feel guilty about anything. And then as soon as I do that, I start feeling guilty. And I'm like, I just said I wasn't going to do that, but I did it, you know, because it's just one of those things where if you care about somebody and they're trying to do that, you kind of get sucked into that. But, you know, the last couple of years, I've had people try to do that, and it hadn't worked. But the key is one of the things Nathan's been talking about is maintaining your empathy while not being manipulated. That's hard. You know, we're here for each other to try to help each other out with those types of things. Because empathy is key. You know, we talked about the three stages of empathy. We talked about having the cognitive empathy where we just mentally understand. But then it moves into affective empathy where we actually start to feel the way that they feel. And then it moves into something called somatic empathy, which means that we actually react the way that they react, as we talked about in the last few verses here. You know, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. And how that empathy is really kind of an important factor. And it's really important for the Romans here, you know, because it's going to flow into our message for today. You know, remember again, the cultural historical context here. Within 6 years of this writing, the Romans are going to be persecuted, and a lot of the people that are reading this letter that Paul's writing are going to be tortured and killed for their faith. Okay, so as Paul is laying this stuff out for them at this particular point, these aren't just mental exercises. These aren't just feel-good platitudes that are being laid out for everyone to say, wow, isn't this just a great book? Doesn't it just make you feel good? This is life and death for their faith. See, when Nathan gets up and shares the things that he shared this morning, you know, and talking to him about the things that's going on, this is real stuff. You know, we all deal with things that are quite frankly fairly traumatic at times. And if we don't have the faith and the structure in that faith through the scriptures to deal with it, it can have really damaging results. Because people will deal with it. But whether they deal with it in a positive way or a negative way is really the answer. Everyone is going to process. Everybody's going to come up with a course of action. And they'll turn to all different kinds of things to deal with the trauma and the pain. Whether to actually truly process it like we do in Christianity and actually help it to become a strength and overcome and then help other people overcome. Or we deal with it and process it in order to kill or deaden the things that we're going through. Which, they never really die. They just kind of temporarily go away based upon whatever distraction we throw in front of our face. And in the worst case scenarios, they actually turn into exceedingly negative behavior, which we perpetrate on other people. And unfortunately, that happens in the church too. You have to be honest to get into the church to begin with, but whether we stay honest or not is up to us. And unfortunately, there's people sometimes that come into the church that aren't honest, and they inflict damage. So we have to make sure that honesty and humility always stays intact, because that's how we're actually able to move forward and process. So Nathan, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you saying that stuff. It really was encouraging. And if you're listening on recording, talk to Nathan Euler. He can tell you all about it. Let's go to verse 16. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So again, we're taking these little pieces verse by verse in order to, you know, kind of lay these things out in a way that's positive, in a way that the church would understand it at the time, and in a way that we can actually implement these things. So again, we talked about rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep over the last couple of weeks. But here he says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. So he's saying, be of the same mind toward one another. Now, this word is the same word that she used back up there in verse number 3. And we went over this. It says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. So not only are we supposed to think of ourselves properly, have the right estimation of ourselves. That's important. But we're also supposed to have the right estimation and think properly about others. Because that's what this whole section is really dealing with how we relate to other people. So when he says, be of the same mind toward one another, he's saying we're supposed to think so as to have sound judgment, not only about ourselves, but also of others. Now, you've always heard it stated, especially by those who desire to justify themselves, I thought Christians weren't supposed to judge. Don't judge, lest ye be judged. And they always quote King James there, don't they? Yeah. Don't judge, lest ye be judged. Well, that's not actually what that passage says if we read the whole thing. Basically, what God's telling you to do, what Jesus is telling you to do, is to not judge people by your own standards, but to judge people properly. Because he says, you don't go up to the person that has the speck in their eye when you've got a log sticking out of your own eye and try to remove it. He says, notice he doesn't say, take the log out of your own eye and leave the speck in your brother's eye. He doesn't say that. He says, take the log out of your own eye first, then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, whatever problem they have, you're not just supposed to ignore it. He says you're not supposed to deal with it when you've got something bigger going on in your life, or at least the same going on in your life. That's what he means by don't judge lest ye be judged. That's the concept. We are supposed to help each other. And notice he says here, you know, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. We're supposed to make a judgment here, because that's actually what that word means. We're supposed to look at people through the lens of Scripture. And we're supposed to have a right balance. That's what this whole passage is talking about when he says, and we'll get to this in a second, don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Don't be wise in your own estimation. The whole concept is making sure that we have balance in our approach and the way that we think about other people. We don't want to go too far on the judgment side, and we don't want to go too far on the grace side. We want to have a right mindset, but all of that mindset motivated by love, by concern, by compassion for that person to be able to become the best that they can be in Christ. I mean, what's the ultimate goal? We want to help every one of us get to heaven. That's the goal. And on that way, we want each other to help each other become the best they can be so that they can minister to as many people as effectively as possible. That's the bottom line. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we sacrifice for each other the way that we do. It's to help us unpackage all the things that we're going through so that we can be effective for the Lord. So that we can have that joy and that peace. That's what it's about. In order to do that, we have to make judgments. I have to be able to sit back with anybody that I'm talking to and working with, especially if I've got a relationship with them and know them. And for lack of a better term, be able to size them up accurately. The last thing you do is believe everything the person says. Now, what I mean by that is this. Whenever you're talking to somebody, it's really difficult for people to be objective. Especially when they're going through stuff. Because those things have a tendency, and it's accurate, it's their reality. They have a way of altering the way that we think. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. That's what empathy is there for, right? We understand what people are going through. We try to put ourselves in their shoes and say, okay, my wife's amazing. And I know that just kind of came out of, but she does something. Whenever I'm going through something, and sometimes I don't know what to do in regard to myself. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that like to tell me what to do about myself. But sometimes I don't know what to do. And so my wife has this great way of, this is what she says. She says, imagine somebody was coming to you for help. What would you tell them in the exact same situation? That is some of the best advice I've ever received in my life. Because you know what that does? It gets me outside of myself. There's nothing wrong with me feeling or thinking the way that I think or feel. That's what's going on. And that's where a lot of the guilt comes in that Nathan was talking about. We can either sit there in that, or we can get outside of it and try to analyze it objectively. So when she tells me to do that, and then I actually do it, do you know how easy it becomes then? It's so easy. I understand the issue because I'm looking at it. It's almost like a disassociative kind of disorder where I'm like getting outside myself, looking at myself objectively. You know, and it's easy to kind of be disgusted with yourself or angry with yourself or disappointed in yourself and want to kick yourself in the head. But that doesn't do any good either, does it? Sometimes we want to punish ourselves because we think that's going to make ourselves feel better, and it doesn't. Somehow we're paying for what we've done by inflicting pain upon ourselves. That is not how we get better. That is actually pointless. It creates a very negative cycle that continues to move forward. We have to get out of ourselves objectively, outside ourselves objectively, and imagine somebody coming to us. And here's the thing. You can have amazing empathy for that person better than anybody else because you are that person. You know exactly what that person's going through. So if you can somehow step outside yourself and look at that situation objectively, everything becomes clear. What would you do if you came to yourself for help? It works. Give yourself permission to leave that behind and get outside yourself. And if that doesn't work, we're here for each other. Get help. Talk to people that you trust that, you know, And who you talk to is important too. We don't want to just talk to people who will leave us where we're at, who will agree with us and say, you're right. You're right to feel that way and to think that way. You want to talk to some people who are going to love you enough to empathize with you, but also to tell you what needs to happen in order for you to make sure you stay on your way to heaven and for you to become effective for the glory of God and your family. So you got to talk to the right people. See, so we have to make judgments. And so when I'm talking to people and you're talking to people, let's recognize that what's being said is from their subjective experience. And that's okay. But you're there to help them get outside themselves to help look at the objective solutions to what's going on. That's why we're here. That's why we help. And our goal has to be for them to get to heaven, for them to be effective in ministry, to glorify God the most powerful way possible. And if that's our motivation, we're going to do okay. We're going to do okay. Oh, and also, you don't have to fix the problem in 5 minutes. If you can fix the problem in 5 minutes, it's not a problem. That's a minor inconvenience. Real problems take time to fix. But we got to, again, have that discipline to make that a reality. So moving on here, he says, when he says, be of the same mind toward one another, we're not a respecter of persons. We don't view some people as more important than others. Think about it this way. Every single person has an eternal spirit. Every single person has an immortal soul. Every single person will receive a resurrected body. Everyone. Doesn't matter if it's the most famous person that's walking on the face of the earth or the lowliest person in the gutter somewhere in some place you've never even heard about. The same mind towards everyone. We'll dive into that a little bit more a little bit later, probably next week, the way this is going. He says, don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. That word for haughty means high. Don't be high-minded. Now, you ready for something? This is the most profound thing you're going to hear all month, all week, maybe all year. You know what that word lowly means? Low. Right? Mind blown. That word lowly means low. So, my attempt at it. That's a dad joke. So we've got, don't be high-minded, but associate with the lowly. High to low. I mean, you can't get more opposite than that. See, notice what the Pharisees did. One of the things that Jesus really couldn't stand about the Pharisees is that they walked around looking for the respectful greetings in the marketplaces, the chief seats at the dinners, the control and the power and the prestige. Here's the God of the universe in human flesh associating with people that were beggars, that were diseased, that were lepers, that were just the lowest of the low in society, and he got down on their level and helped them. Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciple that betrayed him. Talk about associating with the lowly. That's what he did. That word for associate is to carry, it means to carry along, but in the voice that it's in here in the Greek, it means to conform myself willingly to. So basically what that means is Paul is instructing us to willingly conform ourselves to the lowly. Also, the context there in the Greek means to not be prone to ostentatious displays. I mean, in other words, like if you got stuff, not to brag about it. If you're in a different, in other words, don't flaunt what you have when somebody doesn't have it. And I'm not talking about just material things. There's a lot of things that Christians have emotionally, mentally, psychologically, that a lot of people in the world don't have. And we're not here to throw it in people's faces that they don't have it. I think that's an exceedingly important point. You got someone that's got an addiction. And I know there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. Oh, well, these are genetic diseases and they can't control themselves. Now, we know that's not accurate. But there are genetic predispositions to things. It doesn't mean that your genes control you, but it means that you could be more susceptible to things. Just like people can be more susceptible to all kinds of a host of diseases. And some people, because of the way they were brought up, have just necessarily more addictive personalities than other people do. And I've seen people go around that just have natural discipline. Or maybe even they worked hard for it, showing little to no compassion over people who are in some sort of addiction. And let me tell you something, that person who thinks that they've got discipline all worked out, and if they're not in Christ, they're still enslaved to sin, which sends you to hell. Okay, so we can't go around, you know, throwing the things that we have in Christ in people's faces in a negative way. Because I can tell you from experience, from times past in my life, when you're struggling with something and then somebody else belittles that and throws what they've got in your face, it makes you feel about so tall. It makes you feel worthless. We've all been there. If you haven't been made to feel like you're nothing from somebody else, or they try to make you feel like nothing, like you're worthless because they've got it all seemingly all together in that specific area and you don't, that is not compatible. Think about Jesus Christ, man. Think about how Jesus, if you want to talk about somebody having it all together, that's the guy, isn't it? Did he go around throwing it in people's faces, or did he get on his hands and knees and minister to people and offer what he had to them? So when we talk about ostentatious displays, flaunting wealth, we don't want to just flaunt, you know, we're not just talking about flaunting the physical things. We're talking about flaunting the spiritual, emotional, psychological blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Or maybe the natural things that we are blessed with, that we don't necessarily struggle. There's certain things, guys, I don't struggle with. And it's not because I've worked really hard to not struggle with them. It's because I just don't have a predilection for that. I don't have a bent towards those things. And I might struggle with things that somebody else just has no clue what that's like. So when he says, don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about laying that all aside and getting down on that other person's level and ministering to them without throwing in their face what they don't have if you happen to have it. Again, there's a proper way to present the blessings of Christ to people. There's a proper way to do that. Jesus did it perfectly. Look at the way he interacted. Look at the way he blessed. Look at the way he helped. Tons of compassion. But notice, he didn't leave people where they were at. He lifted them up. He helped them overcome.
I thought I could get through it, but I realize I've only gone through half a screen and I've got like 4 screens left. But that's the way it works here, isn't it? So let me try to wrap this up without having that ending be so abrupt. This is all Nathan's fault. But did you see what I just did there? Just trying to make him feel guilty. Just trying to make him feel guilty. No, he got my brain turning, because this flows right into that, and I'll do the message I was going to do next week. We have a great opportunity through Jesus Christ. We have the solution for everything. And some of us are blessed enough to have been with Jesus Christ long enough to start to see those results. You know the struggle. You know how hard it is. But you also know how it gets done. We need the care and compassion for other people to be able to roll up our sleeves, get dirty, take the time, energy, and effort to really, truly help people and bring them to where they need. If you get in over your head, that's okay. There's other people that can help. I get in over my head all the time. It's how we grow. I find that love and compassion make up for a lack of knowledge a lot of times. Let's serve. Let's help. Let's push forward. Because that's how we're going to make a difference in people's lives. That's how people are hurting. And the hurt is going to get worse and worse as society gets worse and worse. But we are the ones truly that can help. So let's make sure that we do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, you have truly blessed us with some amazing, great things. Thank you, Father, for the peace that just guards our hearts and our minds in you. Thank you for the comfort, for the solace, for the confidence that we have, knowing that the foundation that we stand on is unshakable, that everything around us could fall apart, but our faith in you, Father, can sustain us through everything. And Father, help us to be able to take that. Help people to see it, but help us to present it in a good way, in a way that's appealing, that it's the light of Christ that shines through us, that it's his character that shines through us, that people see. Not anything of ourselves. Because as John the Baptist stated, he must increase and we must decrease. Help us, Father, to allow you to have more control in our lives so that people see you and not us. We love you, Heavenly Father. Help us have a great week. It's in your Son's name I pray.